I'd just like to start with a story first to start off. Okay. At the age of 19, I went alone to India for 6 months to do a mission work program called Love India with Operation Mobilization. I lived in a rural village with a small international team. The slums I saw overwhelmed me, but the colours, the noise, the people and their generosity, the buses with animals on and loud music, the landscape, the hand-painted billboards, the spicy food and having to wear Asian clothes, and most of all, the excitement of hearing of people who had heard of Jesus for the first time, captivated and rocked my world. Such a stark contrast to my life back in the UK. When I finally arrived home back to summer in the UK, I had a reverse culture shock. Everything looked so dull, so quiet, and so ordered. Food was so bland. I longed to eat spicy food again, which had become the norm for me, and to be with the people whose lives had been changed by Jesus Christ. His story had changed their lives. The way I viewed the world was also different now, and my thoughts and beliefs had been challenged and changed for the better. My story was also changing shape, having followed the will of the living God and letting him interrupt my life. His story, his grand story, is where I found myself more and more. Can I ask you, what story is shaping your life? This is also the title of the message. What story is shaping your life? The first thing I'd like to say is, well, the second thing, right, really. We all have unconscious ways of viewing the world, what it is, and the way it came to be. Who are we? Why are we here? All our lives are shaped by some story. Our core beliefs that we have are embedded in our stories, which shape our lives and our families' lives throughout the generations, as we all know. In this world, it tells us to be independent. It tells us our will to be done, not God's will to be done. To always wanting more, getting more, consuming more. A constant thirst, a satisfaction that is only temporary. Si Rogers, who I heard recently at New Wine, just last weekend, he spoke, and one of his quotes was, "Oh, what we search for and settle for in this world, instead of the true God." The problem being, we don't doubt that there's a God out there somewhere, but we doubt his existence, his character, who he really is. Romans 12:2 in the NIV says, "Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And 1 John 2:15-17 in the NIV says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever." Bible commentaries say, "Our refusal to conform to the world's values, however, must go deeper than our minds. It's only when the Holy Spirit renews, re-educates, and redirects our minds are we truly transformed." And I truly believe that in my life. You know, I've been a Christian, I was just thinking about it this morning, well over 25 years, and it's only been the transformation of the Holy Spirit continually working and me surrendering my life that has changed me over that time. His grand story, that's where we find our lives, the true meaning of lives. Yes, the world came into being because God called it into life. You read that at the very start in Genesis. And he created it and he created us. It's here where we're meant to find the meaning of our lives. Matthew 16, 24 to 26 in the NIV says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone exchange for their soul?'" This is when Jesus was just calling the disciples first off, as we read, and he was asking them to leave whatever story had previously been shaping their lives. He too is calling us the same way, to commit every part of our lives. What we accumulate on earth has no value in purchasing eternal life. We can't buy eternal life. It's when we can completely follow him that we discover the real purpose of living. Secondly, we must find a place in his story. As we've said, his story tells us who we are in history and why we're here. This is the true story that must shape our lives. John 3, 16 and 17, which we all know so well, says, "For God so loved the world, the entire world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And also in tune with that, 1 John 2, verse 2 in the NIV says, "He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Which I think is brilliant. Bible commentaries say the entire gospel comes to a focus on these verses. It reaches out and draws everyone in. Everyone. No matter where you're from, no matter what background, no matter what's gone before, no matter what you've done, everyone is included. Jesus paid the highest price of his life that he could pay. He accepted our punishment, paid for the price of our sins, and then offered new life that he has brought us. The Bible tells us the way the world really is. His open, redemptive plan for all who believe and accept it. Theologian Michael Goheen says, "The biblical story encompasses all reality, north, south, east, west, past, present, and future. It begins with the creation of all things and ends with renewal of all things. In between, it offers an interpretation of the meaning of cosmic history. It therefore makes a comprehensive claim. Our stories, our realities, must find a place in his story." And thirdly, the Bible forms a lens through which we look at the world. It is the power of God. And yet it is a case that often we don't see the Bible as one story, one complete story. This is just taken from a book by theologian Leslie Newbegin. And he was talking about a Hindu he was talking to about the Bible in India. And this Hindu was a scholar of the world's religions. And this scholar said, "I can't understand why you missionaries present the Bible to us in India as a book of religion. It's not a book of religion. And anyway, we have plenty of books on religion in India. We don't need any more. I find your Bible a unique interpretation of universal history, a history of the whole of creation and of the human race, and therefore a unique interpretation of God and as a responsible actor in history. That is unique. There is nothing else in the whole of religious literature of the world to put alongside it." Which I think is fantastic. And that's the thing about the Bible and the Word, you know, how God sent us out. He commissioned us to go into the world, and he didn't have the Bible just put in a library somewhere. You know, it was to be part of a living community, the church. And then the next step for us to go out into the world and to make more disciples and more churches so that more and more people get to know him. Ephesians 1:11-12, and the Message says, "It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. God is sovereign. He reigns over this whole world, no matter what people think. He is the way. He is in control. God's purpose to save cannot be hindered, no matter what evil Satan may bring." 1 John 5:4 in the NIV says, "Everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" You know, it's that easy, but it's kind of that hard, you know, to give your entire life to God. But he just opens it up so freely to us. It just amazes me. This is our invitation to see and live in the world in light of another story. The Bible, that our core beliefs would be embedded in the truth of who he says he is and who he truly says we are. Not our core beliefs to be embedded in what the world tells us we should do. Here are just a few things what his word says about us and about him. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are numbered. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. For we are made in the image of God. For God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. The peace of God guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He loves you with an everlasting love. He said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. He won't drop you. He'll never let you down. He's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. He is with you always to the very end of the age. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my strength and my shield. To all who believe, he gives eternal life. And we shall never perish. No one will be able to snatch us out of his hand. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Dale, if you could just... I don't think Dale's here. I was going to say to come on the keyboard as I... begin to close, or well, I will just continue and round it up. Okay, so our challenge from what we heard, are we going to search and settle for the things in this world instead of the true God? We need to trust his character, who he really is. Get to know him more. Talk to him more. You know, really search him, really seek him with all of your heart. And read the Bible. Go over and over again. It will literally change your life. He will change your life. We must find a place in his story. It's only in his story that tells us who we are in history and why we are here. His story is the one that must shape our lives. This is our invitation to see and live in the world in light of another story. The Bible, that our core beliefs would be embedded in the truth of who he is and who he truly says we are. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the way, the truth, and the life. Come, let his story shape all of your life. Okay, as we close, the ministry team are going to be here. And I would just urge you, if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, you know, you've got nothing to lose. You have got everything to gain. So if you would like to take that invitation, I'd like to welcome you to do that. This is my first time of doing this publicly, but I just ask if you could just all close your eyes. And if any of you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you know, he's asking you now, he's inviting you. He says, come follow me. I'm just going to say a small prayer. And if you'd like to accept Jesus into your life, if you could just raise your hand. And at the end, we could just pray with you at the front and invite you into this glorious living that God has for you. So, dear Lord, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you came and you came to forgive me, Lord God. I ask that you would forgive me now, Lord God. I accept you into my heart and into my life, that you would be my king and that I would follow you. If anyone has said that prayer, could you please just raise your hand at all? Or if you're unsure, that you could come to the front when the service is closing at ministry time. Okay, shall we sing Wonder? And if anyone would like prayer from the ministry team who'll be here at the front, I'd encourage you to come along. Prayer. Thank you.